actual speeds vary. Stream Saver requires Xfinity Internet or TV and price subject to change.
Chicago's Sports Morning Show with Mully and Haw will be back in 60 seconds on The Score.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Wake up. Breakfast. And Nature Made Vitamins. Whatever your morning sounds like, Nature Made fits right in. Whether you're looking for vitamin C or a multivitamin to get key nutrients, we've got you covered. Now that's a good morning. We take care of you so you can take on your day. Start your day with Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears football. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you in part by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Sports Station. The Score! Scoreboard update.
The Score Update Studio brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Tonight, the Dolphins host the Bills on Thursday Night Football. Pregame coverage beginning at 6:30. Kickoff at 7 right here on The Score and the Odyssey Sports Network. Our friends over at Circus Sports Illinois have the Dolphins minus 2.5. The total in this one is 48.5. Bears week number 2 will take on the Texans down in Houston. Will they have Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze? We'll have to keep our eyes and ears open on that one. The Cubs have today off after falling last night in L.A. late night 10-8 to the Dodgers, who outslugged them. They're now taking on the Rockies starting on Friday. White Sox are going to be off today, so they won't lose their 115th game today, possibly on Friday when they host the A's. This hour of the show is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Us figuring out exactly, you know, what works best with, you know, whether our offensive linemen, you know, and our run game, our passing, our, you know, whether we have, you know, whether we spread it out, whether we pack it in tight, whether we stack, whether we get, you know, three tight ends in the game, whether we have, you know, two backs, three backs, you know, whatever case may be, just figuring out what works best for that week, but also works best with our offense and being able to go out there and execute smoothly, especially going, you know, to a playoff team last year and going to their stadium and having to go execute, you know, early in the season and starting fast and going out there and, you know, try to win the game.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That, of course, the voice of Caleb Williams. He is the Bears' starting quarterback and addressing an issue that we talked about a little bit earlier. I should mention that our segment with Brad Biggs earlier was sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. And Biggsy has his own Estwing hammer, and he was hammering out some good stuff today in the Chicago Tribune, if you didn't see the story, about the identity, or more precisely, the lack of identity with what the Bears offense is.
Yep.
And Caleb is talking about that right there, about how the opponent will determine kind of how they're going to be putting their team together to attack. Maybe we'll see something significantly different against Houston than we did against Tennessee. And hopefully we'll see something significantly better.
Well, the best offenses dictate the terms against whatever defense they're playing. And the Bears want to be the kind of offense we think they can become. That process will begin Sunday night in Houston. It didn't begin Sunday afternoon against the Titans. It's a largely anonymous offense right now. Mm-hmm. It's vague in definition. It has no identity. And to me, it doesn't start necessarily with getting Cole Kmet on the field more. It doesn't necessarily start with Keenan Allen or Rome Odunze being available. It's all about the quarterback. There is an enormous amount of pressure on Caleb Williams right now going into Houston because he did nothing against the Titans to justify the hype that accompanied his arrival in Chicago and the beginning of the season. Now, we're responsible for largely a lot of that hype, the people outside of Halas Hall. But I think that more than any other player in that offense, it's on his shoulders to establish the identity, remove some of the doubts, and relieve the pressure that he must feel going into this challenge.
I would say all of that correct. I think my takeaway from the Bears' offense against Tennessee was that they were under siege. And I felt as if the interior of the line, the play of the guards, of the center in particular, that it was so, it was just so kind of mediocre, if not awful, that there was so much traffic in front of the quarterback. There was so much garbage around his feet that I didn't feel like he was comfortable setting and throwing. There was no rhythm to his game. And I blame some of the pressure on that. And again, I thought that there was a really good game plan by the defensive coordinator attacking a rookie quarterback. And he wound up being hurried and a little bit confused and not as good as he should be. I thought the Bears should have been able to help him with some play calling and with some personnel usage that they didn't seem to be able to do. And it was surprising to me. The best play offensively was probably the two-point conversion, which was effortless. And when you looked at it, I couldn't believe, number one, I was surprised they were actually going to go for a two-point conversion.
Brilliant.
Given how bad
it
they
was
were.
Brilliant.
And it was so easy. It was
and
beyond belief.
They had misdirection involved. They had DeAndre Swift on a little bit of a swing pass, and he was wide open, wide
Absolutely.
Open. And that's where one is related to the other. We can agree that I think that Caleb Williams faces the most pressure of any offensive player this weekend because of the position, because of what he didn't do against the Titans. But I think Shane Waldron would be the second guy on my list of who is under the most pressure and scrutiny this week and who you have the highest expectations for. Yeah, the offensive line is a problem, but you can help scheme your way to help these guys. Move the pocket. Have a moving target so he's not as easy to catch. You're going to be facing two defensive ends who are going to both crash down hard, and you need to find a way to neutralize that with your scheme as much as with your talent. That puts even more pressure on a young quarterback on the road against a playoff defense. So there's a lot riding on this game for Caleb Williams and Shane Waldron, and it's not a great matchup for those guys.
Yeah, and we know that Will Anderson was the defensive rookie of the year a year ago. They traded back up into the draft after getting the quarterback at number two. They got Will Anderson at number three, the defensive end, the pass rusher. And then in the offseason, when they lost a couple players off their line, they went out and they signed Daniil Hunter. And we know how dangerous that guy is from his time in Minnesota. He's wreaked havoc on the Bears before. So they've got these bookend pass rushers that, as we've talked about, we know how under scrutiny the interior of the line was. My fear is that we're going to be talking about how mediocre their tackles are come Monday. And I don't mean that as an insult. I just think they're playing really good players. Now, there are ways to combat that. You can help out with tight ends. You can do things. You can chip, and you can figure out ways of making sure that you are acknowledging that if you are overwhelmed by a player in a pass rush. But, you know, I don't know if you can do it with a whole game long with the entirety of an offensive line. They really need to be better and just play better on the offensive line.
Well, the personnel groupings and also the injury situation seems to be leading toward almost for Shane Waldron an obvious solution to play, or an obvious way to address this, is to play two tight ends more often than not.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a full complement of wide receivers, and you have tight ends that have not been on the field enough to matter. So you're right about the tackles or the ends. The tackle situation with the Houston Texans, I believe they have one defensive tackle that the Bears would will remember, and Bears fans will remember, Mario Edwards Jr.
Yes.
Pretty good player in the middle of that defense. And they have also what I think is interesting. You know, they've got some talent at the cornerback position.
Yes.
And they also have a rookie in Kalen Bullock, who is a college teammate of Caleb Williams, and who talked in the Texans locker room yesterday about going against him at practice. He had an interception in the opener, so he's off to a good start. But that little mini matchup within the broader matchup against the defense will be interesting and fun to watch.
Yeah, and he basically said that you want to keep him in the pocket.
Yeah, you want to keep him in the pocket.
That's not breaking news.
It's becoming the book on Caleb Williams, if there ever was any doubt, because I think people understand and saw in a small sample size of preseason what he's capable of doing when he breaks out of contain. And if you lose contain on Caleb Williams, then that's when he becomes more dangerous.
His accuracy on the move.
I think down the field, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't
argue
that.
You're not throwing to spots. You're not, the short passing game becomes more of a vertical stretch type of a thing. And I think the Bears need to keep that in mind. I know he was inaccurate and missed some long passes in the opener, but I think that I've been saying this all week. You don't want to coach the special out of Caleb Williams, and you want to give him the opportunity to, whether it's in the pocket or on the move, think downfield and think big play.
Well, and presumably if you're throwing downfield, you get a little air under the ball, because we did see three passes batted down at the line of scrimmage, and that goes back to when you start talking about whether a guy is a pocket passer. Can he see over his line, and can he get things done that need to be done? Now, again, we talked to Olin about that with Drew Brees and how the Saints went about that all those years, and they always made sure that they established a really strong offensive front. Their guard play was always excellent because they wanted to hold that line. They didn't want all that trash coming in. They didn't want that feeling of being under pressure at every minute. And Brees, of course, one of the great players in league history. We should mention that tonight the Dolphins host the Bills on Thursday Night Football. The pregame coverage begins at 6:30, and the kickoff is at 7:15, right here on the Score, and you can hear it also on the Odyssey app. And I know you're looking forward to that game. I am less enthused.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know why you're less enthused. It's a great matchup. It's the biggest matchup in that division between two of the best teams in that division.
Yeah.
And you kind of poo-pooed it when it came in here this morning talking about football tonight. And I think the Dolphins have a chance to win the AFC because they have such firepower. Their problems are, how do they stop people? I think Josh Allen has a lot to prove this year. It's a good matchup, I think, early in the season that could have implications on home field advantage in January.
It's in Miami. I'm just worried about guys driving to the game.
Okay. I think that's a valid concern.
It's a joke. That was a joke. No, I Josh Allen, he's kind of a very celebrated, maybe overrated signal caller. He is a guy that is, he's a tough guy, big guy. He can run over people. I just find it exhausting waiting for that. I've got friends who are big Buffalo fans. I just find it exhausting waiting on that team, and I feel like we've been waiting on that team for a long time.
I know.
As far as Tua is concerned.
Yeah, what about Tua?
I don't mind Tua. I think their speed on offense is unbelievable. But like when they came up and lost to Kansas City last year, they kind of died in
me. That was
me.
So last year.
I know it was.
Why are you stuck in the past?
Because
the only thing that can stop the Dolphin offense is the Miami-Dade County Police Department.
No.
This is an offense that is dangerous. I had written down when we made our picks last week.
Yes.
Exactly a week ago today.
Yes.
I had written down Miami Dolphins, AFC champions. And then I chickened out. I chickened out when we went on air.
Because they're not a tough football team that can square up and beat anyone in cold weather.
I talked myself out of it because of the cold weather factor.
That's a big deal.
I thought, well, if they have to go to Baltimore in January, they can't beat the Ravens. They can't beat the Chiefs. So I felt like that was something I should amend, and I did, even though I had written down. That's how much I'd like the Dolphins this year. Maybe they will – disappoint me. But I like all that offense.
You like the Dolphins from 72 or something. I don't know what you feel about now.
I don't. I'm not a Bob Greasy guy. I'm not stuck with Larry Zonka.
I'm just kidding. I just feel sometimes like they're another overhyped team that ultimately falls short. So I get it. It's a good matchup. It's a division game. I'm not against it, but I don't know why, like, these high-powered AFC offenses going at it. I've got two words for you. The first one is used by Santa Claus. It is ho, and the second is hum. I find them ho-hum.
Oh, wow.
You do.
You sound like Al Michaels.
Thank you, buddy.
I mean, you're going to be, like, ho-humming your way through Thursday Night Football.
That's me.
Back to Bears-Texans. I think this is another thing to keep in mind. When we talked about what they did, the Texans, against the Colts. They gave up a couple big plays. And I think when you look at Anthony Richardson had a long pass play to Alec Pierce, a 60-yarder. There was another 54-yarder completion. They have given up the chunk plays. I know it's one game, but this is a defensive-minded head coach who takes pride in his defense. They've got the edge rushers we talked about. But I do wonder, can you find a way, DJ Moore, whoever it is, Tyler Scott, to get behind the secondary, which has a rookie at safety, has another rookie at corner. They do have Daryl Stingley Jr., very good cornerback. But if you can beat this team with the big play, don't rule that out, and don't forget what they did against the Colts, because good team, yes, but susceptible to an explosive play.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. So what define that then? What do you mean by that? What then does that, how does that translate?
Find a matchup you like. Mm-hmm. Find something that you can exploit. And don't be afraid to max protect. Get your guy, Big Dog, Mercedes Lewis in there to help. Mm-hmm. Braxton Jones protect the blind side. Get your guy Cole Kmet in there to maybe help out Darnell Wright and protect the edge, call a 7-step drop, and let Tyler Scott try to get behind the defense. Or let Velus Jones, can I mention him?
Yeah.
Can I mention him without a trigger? Yes, let him try to get, go
well,
deep,
I would
think
not,
big.
I would not have him active for this game.
Well, I wouldn't either. Let me take that back.
So, I mean,
they can't both be active,
let's
right?
Let's have him go deep and drop a pass. What are you saying? Listen, I mean, you want to know how to get a big play? Throw the ball to DJ Moore.
Well, him too. But my point would be, he's likely to get the bulk of their attention. He's likely to get the bracket coverage. And every time that he is on the field, if Keenan Allen is compromised and Roma Dunze is not active, DJ Moore is going to alert, alert, alert. Where's number two, right? And then you got to find a way to take advantage of the other receiver and his speed element. That's all.
I fair enough. I got no problem with that. But, I mean, I think I'd like to see him move the ball, move the chains.
Okay.
And I tell you what, if you have a successful 5-yard run on first down, you're going to be able to get the ball down the field. Hey, join the Scores, Shane Reardon, for a football watch party this Sunday from 6 to 8 at The Wall in Marcus Gurney Cinemas when the Bears take on Houston in primetime. You can enjoy some great food and drink and watch the game on The Wall's massive screen. That's Sunday from 6 to 8 with Shane Reardon at The Wall and Marcus Gurney Cinema. Maybe bring Shane a copy of the Jerry Reinsdorf statement. He might not have seen it.
He might enjoy you
just handing him one.
That sounds like a great opportunity to have some fun. And we've got a great opportunity next to talk to the Northwestern's new athletic director, Mark Jackson.
Excellent. Can't wait. Mully and Haw on The Score.
Meow.
What the hell?
Cats.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Mark Jackson. He, of course, the new athletic director at Northwestern. Mark, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Mully. Good to meet you.
Absolutely.
Fired up to be with you this morning.
Big fan of the Cats. Really love the programs there, love the school. My wife got a degree there. David got a degree there. I think that many people in the Chicagoland area understand the importance of Northwestern's, how much fun it is to kind of follow all the programs, sports programs there, and just the accessibility. I'm curious, you know, I'm also a college basketball fan, and I've got a buddy who went to Villanova, and we watched all the success of Villanova. And I was surprised to read that when you were recruited, and you were recruited to come here, it was you weren't looking for a job. You didn't know that you would be willing to leave Villanova, but you were kind of overwhelmed by your first ever visit to Evanston.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. There, you know, Villanova is a wonderful place. Wonderful people will hold a place in me and my family's heart forever, just because of the people. And then on top of that, you have a lot of parallels, to be honest, with Northwestern. You know, in terms of high academic profile, you know, it's a private school. They got a great mission. You know, world class coaches, facilities, all that stuff. But, you know, I just felt like after 9 years, starting my 10th year at Villanova, I was ready for a new challenge. Like you said, I wasn't looking, but anytime you make a big decision, you want to know about the facts, and the facts of Northwestern is it's world-class across the board. And at this pivotal time in college athletics to be associated with a brand like that, it made more and more sense to me and my entire family to make the move.
Mark, as Molly said, yeah, I got a degree from Northwestern. My son has a degree from Northwestern. I love and respect the place. And I also look at it objectively like this. You're coming into a situation that's got to be immensely challenging for any administrator or executive because of what's happened over the last 14 months or so. Northwestern is in recovery mode. They're also in building mode with a building project. So I guess, why this challenge now? You would have had options. I'm sure you had, you know, other opportunities. USC, I think, offered you the job a couple times and you turned it down. What was it about Northwestern at this point in time that was appealing to you?
Yeah, like any leader, you know, Dave, you look at this, you know, not as like gloom and doom or a dark cloud, which a lot of people in our industry, quite frankly, across the board for what's impending on the horizon. But I look at it as like a challenge or an opportunity. And where do you want to do that? And who do you want to do it with? And I think the more that I came down to it, that there is balance there, that, you know, in terms of what our objectives are. And for me, you know, I'm not looking to go to a big factory where, you know, winning is the end all be all of everything. And winning is important and we're going to win. But the balance of, you know, high academics, the way we graduate our student athletes, where our student athletes go on and do afterwards for the rest of their lives. Like for me, there's alignment there. And, you know, I'm probably not a fit at a lot of other places, but the more that I got to know the leadership at Northwestern and where they want to go and what they want to do, and they have the capacity to do it, there's no question. And to do it in a world-class city that is so passionate about sports, a lot of it lines up as this, you know, not like as a challenge, but as this great opportunity. You know, I haven't even mentioned like the Ryan family and Ryan Field and folks like that that have done unbelievable things across the world. Like to partner with them and to do those kinds of exciting things, it just made more and more sense the more I got to know it.
Well, anybody who has been to the campus and who has seen like the new football facility, who has seen all the work that's been done, it's world-class stuff, right? I was lucky enough to just be there recently, and I got to tell you, the buildings themselves, the way everything about it is really top shelf. And now the stadium is being rebuilt, and we know that it's kind of an intimate situation in the back of the, I don't know if it's the lacrosse stadium or the soccer stadium. Yeah. I've seen a lot of different sports played there. It is almost as if the facilities would engender success, whether or not, you know, you have everything else in place, right? I mean, it's going to be pretty spectacular when that building is finished.
Yeah, it's going to be a game changer. It's a whole athletics. But Molly, I'll tell you a quick story. You know, my wife, our youngest is 17, our other three are in college.
Oh, Oh, hold on one second, Mark. I'm sorry.
Hold on, Mark.
We've got to clean up that phone line because I want to hear this story.
Yeah, I do too. And looking at the stadium project, they're a couple years away yet. What's fascinating is that they're playing in the temporary makeshift stadium with the best view of any college football venue I think you could imagine.
You know, I'll tell you something. Not only is it one of the best views of college football and you get to see the sailboats on the lake, you look back at the city, Chicago is standing there.
You can see it
proudly
in the backdrop.
It's as if you
get a sense that it is Chicago's Big Ten team.
Yes, it is.
When you have a view of the Chicago skyline and you can watch third down on one, and then between downs, you can say, "Oh yeah, there's the skyline." That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is great stuff. We've got Mark Jackson back. I'm sorry, Mark. We cut out a little bit there. You were just beginning to tell us a story about your kids.
Yeah, and we have four great kids that are all in alignment about Northwestern, but, you know, our junior in high school, who's 17, you know, is pretty adamant about finishing his high school years here, and we're going to, you know, figure it out at the end of his junior year where we're at. But, you know, they came into campus on a Friday night. The sun was setting over the lake. We're in Ryan Fieldhouse, and I'm watching his face, and all my kids, you know, the jaws just dropped for this idyllic setting. And I think by the end of, you know, dinner, you know, he had a much more open mind about, you know, coming out and being part of it just for the facilities alone. But we know, you know, the bells and whistles are there, but what really makes Northwestern great, again, are the people and the mission. But what we do have world-class amenities for sure.
The people, some of them we know well. Kelly Monte-Hiller is a legend in women's lacrosse. Chris Collins, longtime friend of the program, has been here and seems to have the basketball program headed in the right direction. And then there's David Braun, the reigning Big Ten Coach of the Year, who took over an impossible task and really succeeded, and obviously off to a pretty good start, would have liked to have won the double overtime game against Duke, but has a challenge and back home this weekend against Eastern Illinois. Of those three, obviously, I'm sure other people have made impressions. What has been your biggest takeaway of meeting the people at Northwestern and some of the coaches that are be working for you?
Yeah, collectively, an unbelievably warm and receptive welcome. From all the head coaches and all the staff, but you know you always do your homework on what you're going into, and I think again it's one of our greatest strengths is our whole corral of head coaches, and you know whether it's you know Kelly or Dave or Chris or Tracy Fuchs and who's got the number one field hockey team in the country right now. You look at what softball has done. You look at what tennis, golf. I mean Pat Goss too. You know, kind of a legendary golfer. He's been instrumental in helping me understand kind of where we're at and where we need to go. He's an unbelievable Northwestern Wildcat. And so I'm excited to get to work with all of them. They're, you know, to Mully's previous point, or maybe it was yours, Dave, just the challenges that are ahead. Each program is going to have different nuances in this new world of revenue sharing and transfer portal and everything. So the relationship you have with your head coaches across the board is just pivotal. And I look at those as real partnerships where I want to take the distractions away from them as much as I can, you know, and let them do what they do best, which is coach and recruit and win. So that's my objective as I approach the relationships there.
So we think of Villanova and the success there. We think of Jay Wright. We think of the national championships in basketball. And I used to love hearing him talk about basketball because he would tell people things like, whatever you do, remember kind of who you are. Remember why you became successful, how you went about. He wasn't looking for just the best players in the country. He was looking for guys that fit the way he wanted to play and the way. And I think the most successful coaches, and Chris Collins does this as well, although maybe you can hook him up with Jay's Taylor because that's a pretty special relationship. But
I don't know if Chris can afford him. I'm not sure.
but it's the kind of thing where, you know, having your identity and knowing who you are is just the biggest part of doing any job sufficiently, let alone well.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think it's just a huge tenet of leadership, right? Is being authentic, knowing who you are. And you know, for all of us, sometimes it takes time to figure that out. But when I think about the coaches that I've got to work with, whether, you know, going back to the Patriots with Pete and at USC with Peter Belichick, Jay, they all know who they are and what they're about. And that transcends to Kelly. Like, I've known Kelly most of my career here at Northwestern, and she knows her program top to bottom, and it's reflective of who she is. So, yeah, to get to, you know, be around Jay, and he will be around Northwestern. He's such a good teacher, and it translates to TV too, right? The more you talk to people, the more that he gets comfortable. You learn something every time you listen to him. He doesn't have an agenda. He's teaching, and he taught me a lot, you know, about Villanova, obviously, but about leadership and people, and in a lot of ways, a huge mentor in my life. So fortunate to get to work with him.
You mentioned Bill Belichick. He's quoted in the release when they hired you. So is Pete Carroll. From the Seahawks and certainly USC. What's your relationship like with both of those guys whose names do jump off the page in any press release?
Yeah, I mean, Pete, by far, is my biggest mentor in my life. I lost my dad at a young age, right when I was with the Patriots. And for whatever reason, despite being 20 years in difference in age, he filled a huge void in my life, and to this day still does. And so I lean on him for everything. I give Bill a lot of credit, you know, because when Pete got let go with New England, I stayed on another year with Bill, and you always hit those crossroads. And Bill taught me, quite frankly, that, you know, I wasn't cut out to be a coach, because I thought that I was on that path. And I saw the amount of time, effort, energy he put into that and what he was about. And, you know, I came to the realization it's time for me to shift gears into administration. But since then, obviously, I grew up in Boston. My wife's from Boston. We're around New England a bunch, so stayed connected on that front. And over the years, I've just leaned on him when I had to make big decisions. And
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we lost connection with Mark Jackson. Yeah. But
well, Mark, you know, we wish you the best of luck. I think it's going to be a fun thing to watch. I think that, you know, there, as David pointed out, there were some dark times there with Northwestern sports. But hopefully we're going to see just the best of it as we move forward.
Yeah, good deal. Good deal. I lost you there for a second, you guys. I'm sorry.
That's okay,
no
Mark.
Problem.
Thanks. Best of luck moving forward, and look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much, Mark.
All right, guys. Doors are always open to you. Whatever you need.
Appreciate it.
God bless you. I got to get some tickets to that football stadium.
I think you probably get in. You mean the new one or the temporary one?
The temporary one.
Yeah.
You can't get the new one. They'll be seating.
Well, there might be a few tickets limited. Available this weekend. I think they play Eastern Illinois. I don't know how tough a ticket
what
it will
time
be
is
to
that
see.
One?
Is it a night game?
I don't know. The Duke game snuck up on me. I wasn't ready.
Well,
for
that Friday. Was under the Friday night lights. That was the Big Ten trying to intrude on high school football, like the NFL
didn't like
did.
That.
I don't like that.
No.
I don't like that. I think the Big Ten can stick to Saturday and Thursday. And heck, you want to play on Tuesday night like Maction? Go ahead. Stay away from Friday nights.
You know, you can tell how sharp that guy is just chatting with him, and you know that he's been around really good people. Villanova is a really good place. You know, his professional resume is very impressive.
It is impressive.
Yes.
And I wasn't trying to be flippant or facetious or anything, but honest and sincere. Why would he want this job at this time? Because the Northwestern athletic director inherits a difficult challenge.
But I think
buried in litigation.
But you've moved beyond. You have
in a lot of ways,
yes,
Molly.
Yes.
But in a lot of ways, you're always going to be tethered to that scandal, because there's going to be some lawsuits that are going to be dealt with in a way that is going to interfere with the positive things going on around the school and the campus.
Isn't that kind of above the athletic director? You see what I'm saying? This is now the university president and
they've got to continue to make that clear.
Yes.
They've got to continue to message it that way and to compartmentalize in terms of the tasks at hand, because you've got a building project, you've got to run a department in a conference that has expanded now to 18 teams.
Incredible.
And you've got a new challenge of just navigating the NIL.
Traveling all over the world. The NIL, to me, that is the biggest problem we're going through kind of a wild, wild west period with NIL, transfer portal. It hasn't even been figured out yet how that will work, but people are kind of adapting on the fly.
They're adapting on the fly.
That is one of the reasons that Jay Wright left Villanova.
Because he did not want to deal with those headaches any longer. It's not regulated to the extent that it should be or will moving forward, and that's one of the challenges for guys like Mark Jackson and the Big Ten and Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, who had this job before. You're facing, you know, the great unknown. you just don't know what's next for college sports. The way it's changing, there's a new story today. The Pac-12 is welcoming new members now. Boise State and three other programs.
And a bunch of state schools, right? A bunch of the Fresno State and San Diego State and some
The only constant of college sports is change. And to be able to adapt to that is requiring a lot of attention, a lot of commitment. And that's why I wondered, is this the right job and why?
Well, I mean, it's a great question. But, I mean, if you just go up there, as you well know,
It's a beautiful setting.
His 17-year-old son is absolutely correct. If you start getting excited about it. The other thing is you're in the Big Ten.
You're in the Big Ten.
And, boy, that means a lot.
I love Evanston. You know, I love the campus. Yes, it's a great place. My son lives there still. And I think that I understood why he would take it.
Yes.
I still want people to articulate exactly what drew them to that challenge because it's going to get – The obstacles, some of them still remain in place.
Absolutely. No question about that. All right. We're going to talk to our guy, Nick Costos. We'll get some selections for you for the weekend.
Oh, yeah. He had an experience with the whole Christian McCaffrey thing I think is worth exploring, too.
Okay. We'll ask him a question about that. We'll also get Dustin his little special, the prop, the king of the props.
Prop king.
We'll deliver Mully and Haw on the Score.
I want winners.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Want to let you know that on the line is the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And also, you can be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more analysis from Nick, just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcast. And Nick joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today? I will say, have less money in my wallet now after the Will Levis pick six on Sunday for the Tennessee Titans against the Bears, but otherwise doing great.
That's on him. You're doing great because I guess you got ahead of the game. Tell us how you found out that Christian McCaffrey was inactive and what you did when you were on your show, right? You were live on the air when this happened and you pivoted quickly.
Yeah, so I appreciate you setting me up to talk about this because I think it's one of the unique things about our show, and I don't want to turn this into an infomercial, so I'll make this really quick. You know, we give our bets for Monday and Thursday night football at the end of the show on Monday and Thursday. We're off the air at 7 o'clock Eastern time, and generally the actives and inactives for Monday, think about it, like actives and inactives come out 90 minutes before kickoff, so we usually get them right at the end of the show. So the McCaffrey inactive, fantasy football players, football fans, period, know this. It was a surprise. Like, the Niners were saying that he was going to play in the game. So with 3 minutes to go in the show, like, we get the notifications on our phone. And if you bet seriously, by the way, or even if you're a casual bettor, you should have notifications on Twitter turned on for the NFL Insider. So you get this stuff on the phone so you don't have to wait to see it. You get it immediately. So we see Christian McCaffrey's out. And then knowing kind of like playing fantasy football the way I do, following football the way I do, you immediately know, okay, McCaffrey's out, the backup running back is Jordan Mason, and the third string running back is rookie Isaac Guerrero. Now, it takes time for sports books to kind of pull stuff down, kind of like put new numbers up. So you have a limited opportunity there, like when this news breaks, to kind of get good bets in. And the bets were Jordan Mason anytime touchdown, which hit. Guerrero anytime touchdown, which didn't hit, but not the point. The point is that it was a good bet. And Jordan Mason over 11.5 rushing yards. We were able to get all those bets in before the markets were pulled down. I'm sure my show sponsor, BetMGM, appreciated that very much, but our listeners and viewers definitely did.
Wow, that's
11.5 yards.
11.5
that
yards.
That was, and he ended up with what, 148?
Yeah, like 300 wow. rushing yards. So 11.5 was a pretty good bet for sure. Yeah,
well
that's
done,
incredible.
Well
yeah,
done, Prop
that
King.
Is that's very cool. So help us out, Nick. Well, the Bears didn't have a great offensive performance, but they did win the game, and I don't know what happened to the Giants. I'm not sure that Danny Dimes
played much
better than Caleb Williams, frankly.
Yeah, well, you know, Caleb Williams was the first pick in this year's draft. Daniel Jones, we've known, is bad for a long time. Just saying. My team sucks. I know it. That game was super frustrating if you bet the Titans. And I know, like, no one in your audience wants to hear that, but at the end of the season, we might be able to say that's the worst beat, guys, of the whole year. The Bears averaged 2.9 yards per play and not only won the game, they covered the spread. It's like absolutely improbable. I think I dislike Will Levis personally as a result. But we go to this week's game. Bears and the Texans. Really intriguing Sunday night game, right, in Houston. Current point spread, Houston, a 6.5-point favorite. Total is 45.5. Now, like, this is just the nature of the beast. I've talked about this a number of seasons with you guys. We do this interview on Thursday morning. There's a lot of times where there's injury stuff that's going to hold up kind of like the full pick for the game, right? So Bears fans know, you guys know, yesterday at practice, no Rome Odunze. Feels like he's unlikely, right, week to week with that knee injury. No Keenan Allen at practice yesterday. So, like, if we make it to Sunday, and, like, it's just DJ Moore and then, like, a cast of jabronis catching the balls from Caleb Williams, I think you're going to see the Texans have some interest in the betting market. Now, if Keenan Allen plays, maybe that kind of mitigates it a little bit. I can tell you guys, and I was wrong in week one, like, the Bears, no matter how the game played out, I lost my bet, right? So I was wrong. I would only bet the Texans in this game. I think Houston's a juggernaut potentially this season in the regular season, and I think this is a bad spot early here in the year for Caleb Williams. So begrudgingly, I would lay the Texans, but again, need more info on the Bears receivers before I place that bet.
Oh, Prop King, can you bequeath some wisdom on a prop bet for Dustin this week?
Oh, Dustin's got the pen and paper out?
Yes,
okay.
He does.
I will give Dustin a bet for tonight, a prop bet for tonight, and I will give him a prop bet coming up for this weekend also on Sunday. The prop bet for tonight in the Bills-Dolphins Thursday night game. So we have seen, right, Joe Brady, since he took over as Buffalo's offensive coordinator, like, he runs the ball a lot, not like Ken Dorsey, who threw the ball a lot when Dorsey was dismissed last year. We saw Jacksonville have success on the ground last week against Miami, and I think you're going to see Buffalo take the air out of the football in this game. James Cook, over 60.5 rushing yards. Buffalo starting running back, so Cook over rushing yards tonight. And then let's look to Sunday, and look, like, Mully, you're right. Like, Daniel Jones stinks 100%. My team is bad, but I actually think the Commanders are worse. I think the Giants are actually better than the Commanders. This should be Malik Nabers, the Giants rookie receiver, should go nuts in this game. This should be eruption for Malik Nabers. Should have had it last week against the Vikings. Daniel Jones was bad. Much worse defense here. Let's go Nabers. I think we're sitting at around 62.5. Nabers over receiving yards. I think he hits triple digits coming up on Sunday.
Good stuff,
Nick.
That's
great. Thanks, Nick. Always fun. Appreciate it, buddy.
Wishing you guys and all the great listeners minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
Brian Baldinger.
We're going to bring in Baldy next. We'll find out what he thought of the Bears' identity on offense. Mully and Hall on the Score.